off top, queen bees can quack. Play music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
All right, welcome to the Dominique Foxworth Show. I'm here with my good friend and co-host Charlie Kravitz. We had a lot of great basketball this weekend. It was pretty fun. And some, I've never had such a insignificant feeling game seven ever in my life. I still watched it and enjoyed it, but also was like, you guys are just fighting to lose to the Celtics.
Cavs magic. You can name the teams.
Do I have to?
Bright future in Orlando. Shout out to Kevin Clark and Paolo Banchero.
I was disappointed. I wanted to see Banchero play another round. I mean, we know what the Donovan Mitchell Cleveland experience is. But anyway, somehow we managed, despite having real good games to talk about, to talk a little bit about the one game that no one really cares about. So, Charlie, where you want to start?
Largest game seven deficit ever overcome, that 18-point lead. Who are we kidding? We're starting with no flags. we're starting with the Wolves and the Nuggets. Okay. Game one was out of control. Anthony Edwards was, you don't see this often. He's playing Nikola Jokic. He's clearly the best player on the floor. The Wolves went into Denver, out-executed them down the stretch, won the game. Ant was unstoppable. They got incredible contributions from Gobert, from Naz Reid, from Karl Anthony Towns in the third quarter. Mike Conley. A lot of guys were white hot. Like Dante. But coming off that game, do you now view the Wolves as the favorites in their series with the Nuggets?
I mean, it was really fun. If you would have asked me this immediately after the game, I might have said that I view them as the favorites to win the championship for the next 10 years. Because it was so fun, and we were all caught up in the Anthony Edwards hype. He started that game amazingly. He ended that game amazingly. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so clear that he was the best player on the floor while he's on the floor with what a lot of people think is probably the best player in the NBA right now. I mean, coming off a couple, well, not last year's MVP, which you're not going to sidetrack me into an Embiid debate. I know you want to. But coming off of what it looks like he's about to win MVP this season.
He's the best player in the world.
He's the best player in the world. Have to talk about it. He's the best player in the world. And in that particular game, in game one, an important game on the road.
Yeah.
And coming off of a tough, well, neither of them had particularly difficult times dispatching of the teams, but they weren't easy series, I guess, for like the Lakers. I mean, for the Nuggets to overcome the Lakers, it was as tough as a sweep can be, but I expected the Nuggets.
I don't know if you know this, the Lakers led like 70% of the time.
Yeah, I know, but We do a lot of inside stuff on this show that people don't know, but like I laughed at Charlie for trying to say that the Nuggets series was tough against the Lakers because they swept them. And at no point in that series did you at all think that the Lakers had a shot. But in your defense, it feels like the series was tough based on the way that they showed up to this next series. I assumed that the defending champs would show up, and I didn't necessarily assume that the Wolves wouldn't win the series. But I just knew they were going to lose game one on the road against the battle-tested defending champions of the league. But that's part of it, I guess. There's so much in this to talk about. So there's the Anthony Edwards angle. There's also, I feel like I'm getting drawn back into the knee-jerk reaction to completely doubting the Nuggets and completely overhyping the Wolves. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I think the Wolves had a great game. A lot of the role players stepped up. Anthony Edwards was incredible, and he has been for a stretch. It's hard to imagine that he's going to continue doing this. And it's hard to imagine that the role players will, Naz Reid will play as well as this, and Conley will play this well. I think that
Towns.
I have not changed my opinion of this series. I mean, Towns, I don't consider Towns a role player. Yeah, I knew he was. Well, he said he's the big three. Did you see that clip?
I mean,
it's such a high level back pat that he pulled off. If you haven't seen it, Karl Anthony Towns in the post game in the locker room said, everybody's talking about essentially, I mean, to paraphrase, everyone's talking about how great our big three is. It's really about the big 15, like saying the whole roster. That's a long way to go to tell us that we're talking about something that we ain't talking about. We're talking about one man.
Carl. I'm not sure which one of your 11 voices you used for that, but just stop it. stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It's a big one. You're a really nice role player. Yeah. I mean, there's some amazing stats for that Wolves team from game one. I mean, Edwards was the only player who missed multiple field goals in the half, and that's because he had 12 of them. Because they were so hot. They shot 71% from the floor and 58% from three in the second half. Is what Edwards doing sustainable? I don't know. If it is, he's the second coming of Michael Jordan. He's scoring 40 points, shooting 55% and 40% from three every single game. Do I think he'll come back to earth? Probably. But I think you're taking a more nuanced view that is the read that you still think the Nuggets should be favored in this series based on the metal, the fact that they have Jokic, that they're going to play better? Michael Malone wants them to start better.
Yeah. I think it's fair for me to say that Jokic had a bad game for him.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a fine game for everyone else. If you could get that from other players, you'd be happy. But he had a bad game for him. I don't see him having another bad game like that. I guess the real thing that has me hung up about sticking with the Nuggets, the supposedly battle-tested team, is two real things. Is one, we know what the Nuggets look like when Jamal Murray's not on the floor.
Ding, 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 ding.
And Jamal Murray is on the floor, but Jamal Murray ain't on the floor. Like, the calf injury has slowed him to a point where it seems like he's not himself. And this team can't win. We saw, what was that, the Warriors series, the last time we saw this team look vulnerable in the playoffs when they lost to the Warriors before the Warriors went on to win a championship. And then Steph Curry made fun of me at the press conference with his goggles. I'll never let him.
So, the Murray injury is two parts. It's he's an incredible player, big moment merchant Jamal Murray. Like, he's a number two option. Yeah, we're all talking about the big two in Denver. But he's a number two option that you really trust with the ball at the end of the game, and that's, like, really rare. But also with Jokic, and I can't say this enough, Jokic is unbelievable, but the superpower is that two-man game of Jokic and Murray together. They're completely unstoppable when both of them are playing that pick-and-roll down the stretch. And seeing him sort of get handled by Jaden McDaniels, who didn't play well offensively in that game, but was able to keep Jamal Murray, like, really not as a non-factor, and then them being able to play Jokic straight up, like, the play a lot of people are talking about is when Gobert tipped the alley-oop that Jokic was going to throw to Gordon. And that's because they can play Jokic straight up in a really unique way. They want Jokic to be a scorer. It's like what the Heat did in the finals last year. And if you do that, you're not getting the maestro Jokic part where he's getting everyone involved. The ball's flinging around. People are making open threes. Porter's getting open looks in the corner. It just becomes a lot harder for him to have to do everything.
I mean, I think the Heat game plan is an interesting one, which, like, Bam Adebayo is an incredible defensive player, but he's not big. And I feel like
used to call him Little Bam Bam.
I feel like that, yeah, because it was tough watching Jokic body him up. I do. So the point that reason why I brought up Bam's size, and obviously there are a bunch of other things that are different about those two teams, about the Wolves and the Heat, but I think Gobert's size matters and Towns' size matters, and Naz Reid is also someone that they're comfortable having on Jokic, but mostly
he rules.
Yeah, he had a hell of a game, but mostly Gobert, and they can play that way and still make Jokic work. So, like, I remember that Heat series. It's like, yeah, we can play you matched up on Bam, and Bam's comfortable on the perimeter, but it always felt like Jokic would just take him down low. And Jokic was trying to do that against Gobert, but having a harder time. Jokic also shot really poorly from three, which, like, I don't know. He's one of the players who he doesn't shoot a ton of – I mean, he shoots more threes than you'd expect a center, but it feels like every time he shoots a three, I think it's going in. He's one of those players. Yeah. So I was shocked when he had, like, that late game three that – like, absolutely missed everything.
Hit the side of the rim / backboard. I mean, he took 9 threes in the game. That's a bad sign. Yeah. Period. That's him pressing and trying to force it. Also, like, so where I come down on this.
Cat saying big three is funny because I feel like where we're headed in this conversation is if there is a big three, you last on it, buddy. Like, the most important people to this is, like, the anchor to that defense and then the guy who is making us occasionally mention Michael Jordan. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's getting traded this summer, it's you, buddy. Sorry, Kat. No, I mean, so where I fall on the original question is I actually do think they should be favored at this point. And I know Edwards is going to come down to earth. And I'm not saying they're going to win the series. the Nuggets, I think it was a bad sign how, like, how much they're flipping the switch against the Lakers. I think KCP is very injured. It's clear that his ankle is not the same. He's not moving as well. And I think Murray's pretty injured. I think the Nuggets offense is going to be less potent with an injured Murray. And KCP is really important for trying to guard Edwards. Like the possessions where Aaron Gordon was guarding Edwards were an unmitigated disaster. And you don't want to turn to a really young player like Peyton Watson or Christian Brown to guard Edwards for significant stretches, or he's going to get more Michael Jordan comparisons in those games.
Yeah, that's fair. I think where my slight pushback is, and I said there were two reasons, and I only said Jamal Murray, and then we went on to you.
Yeah, I cut you
off. No, it's fine, because this sets up perfectly, because I think the reason why I would want to stick with the Nuggets is because in clutch situations, the Nuggets are great, and the Wolves are not.
Yes.
They happened to be last night, but again, it's not. It feels like everyone right now in sports media is going to rightfully celebrate Anthony Edwards, and we should too, but it also feels like we are right now, or maybe I am right now, pouring some cold water on this, and you also are too. You said that you think that he's going to come back down to earth.
Definitely, a little bit.
Right, but I do also believe that that clutch situation was fluky for the Nuggets.
Oh, you mean Gobert banking in 15-footers, Nod Reed banking in threes?
And banking in threes, Gobert looking uncoordinated but making buckets. And
two of them.
Yeah, and Nas Reed catching a missed Edwards three and banging it home and hitting another three. Like, yeah, that felt unusual. And Jokic missing plays in the clutch situation and missing shots. And then that awful defensive play when – Edwards just takes the inbound pass, runs all the way down to the basket. Yeah. Like, this is not something that I think will be repeatable for the Wolves. Doesn't mean they won't win, but they won't win that way again. Unless you're saying that the injuries and the fatigue, I guess, that they're having is something that makes them a different team than what we saw last year in the playoffs and then what we've seen this year in the regular season in those clutch minutes.
What do you think about all this Edwards-Jordan stuff?
I mean, I don't think much about it. It's fun. Like, I'm with it. So I tend not to want to be the wet blanket. So that's why I brought up the fact that I realized that we're kind of doing that. Like, if we're having fun, it's fun. Let's go. I think you don't have to make those comparisons for us to enjoy it. But
yeah, we'll steal the joy from it if he falls short.
Because what he's doing right now is great. Is he going to go on a Jordan-esque run and take them all the way to the finals and win the championship? Hell no.
I don't even know about that. I just mean like the look of
it. Oh, the look.
This doesn't happen. Like, this doesn't happen. Like, we talked about this before the show. Like Kobe sort of self-compared himself to Jordan. Like, are we like Vince Carter? What are we doing? Like, LeBron sort of never. People were mad that he got Jordan comparisons because of the way he played. Like, this is kind of cool that there does feel like there's a hint of MJ in there.
His biggest highlights from the game one was the block and some Jordan-esque mid-range play. Like, he hit that. It's not only the fadeaway that was Jordan-esque. It was what he did to Gordon on the elbow and hit that jumper. That reminds me. It's not the same spot, but I'm going to sound really old. But that 63-point game where he lost against the Celtics, it reminds me to some degree of Jordan going tween-tween, pull-up jumper right there. It feels very Jordan-esque. And the fact that his highlights are in mid-range is like...
It's just weird that he's getting like these comparisons and like it hasn't happened in like 20 years. Like, it feels like the last time someone was like hype, people wanted it to be like this was like Vince in 2001 and some Kobe stuff, but this feels much more organic.
I think it's the part of the reason why people are comfortable making these comparisons is because of the late game stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he's good in late game situations, because there are lots of players like that who are good in late game situations. It's that it feels like his heart rate slows down and like there's a burst of dopamine into his body when he's in a like a tough situation, which that feels Jordan-esque almost. Like Jordan, but what's different between the two, and correct me if I'm wrong, even though he'll stare somebody down, he'll bark in people's faces and he'll give like aggressive high fives, that's Anthony Edwards that is, in these big situations, it feels like he's happy to be in the moment, whereas everyone else either feels like nervous in the moment, tense in the moment, or ferocious in the moment. It's something about Anthony Edwards is like, he's like, this is why I've been doing all this stuff so I could be here. Like, it seems like it doesn't even cross his mind that things couldn't go well or that he doesn't care whether it goes well or not. He's just, like, happy to be there, and it's really cool. It's really fun, and that's why it feels like his, like, Q rating is 1,000%. There's no constituency in the league except for the Nuggets right now, and they probably love him too, that doesn't love Anthony Edwards.
Do you want to explain the Dominic Foxworth Show theory of why everyone loves Anthony Edwards? This is patented.
Yeah, we have to claim this. Shout out to Kevin. So this is why everyone loves Anthony Edwards. I'll look to the camera and let you know. Anthony Edwards, he has the explosiveness and athleticism that young people and love and the personality and attitude traits that young black people and older black people really appreciate. But also, he bringing back that 90s ball, and he is playing in a way with this team that drafted him that crotchety old whites love. There's no one who can have a problem with the way that he's doing it, because he's doing the opposite of what the generation before that crotchety old people and sports reporters would be upset about, and people like Charlie would be annoyed by, is like, oh, he's going to be a super team. No, he's taking Gobert, who we all decided was not good enough to win with in Utah. And he's taking Karl Anthony Towns, who, yeah, you've already pointed out some of the issues with Karl Anthony Towns. And he is going toe-to-toe and knocking off the defending champs. Like this, and on top of it, he's doing mid-range stuff that's Jordan-esque. No one cannot like this guy.
You know what he's doing?
What's that?
He's doing it the right way. and he's getting fist bumps that say, keep doing what you're doing, young blood.
See, you did it so much better than me. You're a better writer, too. It's so concise, on point. You're right. You should have done it.
And there's no foul grifting.
Yeah, the foul grifting is that's doing it the wrong way. That actually annoys everybody.
Yeah, that transcends everything. It's just annoying to watch.
That's just they are responding to incentives, but those incentives are to win, not to entertain.
100%. I get why people do it, but I think it's universally reviled from an entertainment product.
Your man, Jalen Brunson. We'll get to him later. He out there grifting a little.
I agree.
He's a little grifty, but I did want to make one more point that I was thinking of as I was talking about this, and maybe I should have taken a break to check the stats, or you can look up while we're talking about it. We always ascribe some level of battle-testedness to defended champs, which is also normally earned because it's hard to win an NBA championship. The Nuggets championship run last year was easy. So I know this sounds outrageous, but like, name the series that they had their back against the wall and they fought through it.
None. They haven't been down in a series since the Warriors series in 2022.
So I don't know how much this means. Normally, the point of bringing something like that up is because there's something inside the team or the players when things get tough that they're like, all right, we've been here before. We're comfortable. Right. I have to imagine that winning a championship puts whatever. But the point still remains that we haven't seen how they respond. We haven't seen them respond positively in a back against the wall. The team on the other side is as good as us or better, and what are we going to do? That's new territory. And I'm the one who is saying that I still think I like the Nuggets in this.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it could easily become a series with Ant playing this well that lifts Jokic and being like, I have to be the best guy in the series. And that would be a really entertaining thing and a path forward for the Nuggets. Because, like, that's possible. The guy's as good as any offensive player we've seen since Jordan. And that could be unleashed now. It's distinctly possible. Or it could not. We'll see.
You're getting kind of hyperbolic. You're saying Anthony Edwards is?
No, Jokic has been as good of an offensive player as anyone in the post-Jordan.
My bad. Last thing that I want to check with you, do like a little temperature check of how outrageous this is. Am I like doing a little bit of like sports guy cliche nonsense when I'm talking about like the battle-tested nature? Because I know that you agree with it?
I agree with you completely.
Okay. And, like, I know we're going to talk about the Thunder, who are young, and that's another team where it's like there's some youth in the playoffs. We're going to talk about the Celtics, who are very battle tested. But I don't know. It feels flimsy as I'm saying it.
I don't know. I just think that like pressure is real. Like, and people feel a lot less pressure when they know they can win things when they've done it before.
Do you think momentum's real?
I do.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I've come around.
I don't think it's like, oh, they have the momentum, the series is over type of thing. Like, but like, yeah, when teams are going on a run and they're really feeling it, whether you want to quantify it as momentum or whatever, like, yeah.
I think that's it's misunderstanding of what momentum is in sports. I think it's just like about being in a good space psychologically.
Oh yeah, like, you're rolling.
Which I think people push back because like, well, if momentum is real, then how do you stop it? Well, sometimes you miss a shot. There goes your mo. But anyway.
Oh, that's like the weirdest thing about sports that people always like, dude, you can like miss one thing you up for like weeks. Like,
yeah, I'm familiar.
All right, let's go to the other series in the West because it's also I think it's gonna be an awesome one. We got the Baby Thunder against Luka, Kyrie, and the Mavs. And the Thunder are the ones.
Gave me a flashback to the plays that I up that still haven't gone away. Anyway, proceed.
We can therapize about that after this topic.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Does it make sense to you that the Bucks have the Thunder, who are the one seed, and the Mavs as essentially a toss-up?
I think my knee-jerk reaction is no, is the Thunder are better. And I think that's part of the reason why I was asking that question about the like battle-tested nature and like the age. Do we really think it matters? Because I think the Thunder, if we think that matters, I think the Thunder are absolutely better. And they should not be a toss-up. However, I also think that I'm carrying with me some like residual opinions about the Mavs that are no longer true. Mm-hmm. It's like they're a Luka-led team, which is still true, that doesn't play defense because Luka doesn't play defense. They actually are pretty good at defense this year, mm-hmm. and Luka still doesn't play much great defense.
Tries more when he's healthy.
Yeah, and so if they play better defense this year and they have the best player and the most battle-tested and playoff-proven two players in the series, and Kyrie's playing incredibly well offensively, which you would think that having both of them on a team would completely just destroy a defense, but it has not. That makes me feel like they're actually closer than my, like, automatic reflexes. Like, I think of all the long, athletic, unselfish, generous players on OKC, and I'm like, they're not going to have any trouble. But I think the Mavs might be better than I think they are.
So the case for the Mavericks, they conceivably could have the two best players in this series.
Right.
Kyrie is playing so well, and it's like he hasn't played this well in 7 years. Like, legitimately, that's it feels like yesterday that he was playing with LeBron in the 2017 playoffs, and they were this historically great offensive team coming off the title and just ran into the Warriors buzzsaw 7 years ago. It's a really long time, and he looks as good as, or if not better than ever. Luka, despite having a weird first-round series against the Clippers where he wasn't that good, like, we've seen him before. His playoff resume is sterling. Like, his playoff resume is sort of like what would happen if Anthony Edwards gets to a finals or conference finals with this team. Like, that's what Luka did a couple years ago. And it's like, that's the argument for them. Argument against them is I really just think that the Thunder, they could conceivably be as good as anyone in the league, and we just don't realize it yet. Like, SGA plays a weird, herky-jerky game, and he's been much better in this playoffs. I don't think most people know how good Jalen Williams is, how impactful Chet is, and how complete this team is. Like, we thought Luka was in jail with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I guess Kawhi didn't play that much with Paul George and the wing defenders from the Clippers. Enter the Dortcher chamber, buddy. Jalen Williams and Dort are going to be – those guys are going to be a problem for Luka.
So you think that is not a toss-up? You think?
No, I think the Thunder are much better, and I think they can win the series.
I got to be honest. I mean, I'm aware of the Dortcher chamber. I didn't know that's what they were calling it, but I'm not as familiar with Jalen's abilities. I know you've been talking about, you've been trying to get me to believe in him on a higher level than I think I'm comfortable with. But this feels like a coin toss to me. And you think it's OKC. I want it to be OKC. But a conversation ago, you just said that playoff experience and playoff metal matter.
Yeah,
you like me believe that it only matters if the talent is close, and so you're saying that the talent isn't close.
I just also think that, like, there's a difference between winning championships and just having experience making it to, like, the second round with Luka. I mean, I think that beyond the case of the stars, the Mavs role guys are who transform the defense. Right. So if you like the Derek Lively's, Kleba's, Derek Jones, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, all those guys have made them a completely different defensive team. And that's going to be an important, incredibly important part of the series. But to me, it's just, I think that because the Thunder have a star who's really quiet, a rookie center in Chet, Jalen Williams, who a lot of people aren't familiar with his game. And they're in Oklahoma City. We don't realize that this team has, you know, they were the one seed. They played a Pelicans team without Zion. They just took care of business. Like, they might just be genuinely ahead of schedule and roll this team. And I just think they're better than the Mavs. I think they have a better roster from top to bottom.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're alone as far as people in this room on that one.
And apparently in Vegas.
Yeah, coin toss that thing. All right, what's next?
Okay, let's talk about the fire hydrant.
Oh, my guy.
Are you ready to admit this? Are you ready to admit that Jalen Brunson is an elite number one option that can make the Knicks a contender?
I think I have to admit it, reluctantly. So, to be clear, I have a bit of prejudice. Charlie's doing a funny dance. I have a bit of prejudice against square bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And as good as Jalen Brunson has been the last two seasons and the last two postseasons, and particularly the last several games, I've been reluctant to consider him on the tier with other number one options.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else he got to do to prove it. I mean, he's done it. He's done all the things that he need to prove it. And then I talked a bit about what Anthony Edwards is doing through the prism of what he has around him.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what Jalen has around him and what he's gone up against.
He's their entire offense.
Yeah, it's like, at least no one disagrees with the idea that Cat is an exceptional offensive player. There's nobody else on the Knicks that anyone would consider exceptional offensively. I mean, maybe Randall, but he's not playing. But yeah, I mean, he could probably use Randall as someone that you can give the ball to and actually create his own offense. But I don't know. I have I gotta be honest. Like I gotta get past my prejudice against fire hydrants and accept that little square body is balling.
I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah,
the team is so much fun with the chemistry with the Villanova guys and the
they are fun
crowd. Yeah, they're awesome. And like, they're gonna play the Pacers, so their team goes really fast. Yeah. And the Knicks are gonna try and strangle them.
The Pacers don't play defense though.
No, everyone's offense looks incredible. So I don't even care about that. I just care much more about
accepting the Jalen Brunson. You told me that he was as good as all these other people, and I was like, all right, whatever. But he's done it a couple times, and you're right. You win. I'll concede. I'll be honest. You ever concede something that you lose? I don't think you can. I don't think you're capable.
Conceding?
No, conceding an argument that you've lost at any point. You can't do
it. Oh, yeah.
You never do. Not with me.
I'm conceding. Oh, should I concede that I don't concede? Would that?
Yeah.
You're right. I concede. I refuse to admit.
Now we're in a loop. So, what would be more fun? Jalen and the Knicks getting to the finals, or Anthony Edwards and the Wolves getting to the finals?
Oh, my God.
Wolves versus Knicks finals would be pretty damn exciting and fun. I think the Wolves is more likely than the Knicks, because the Celtics are a one-team conference, essentially.
Yeah.
But the Knicks is so much fun.
I think the Knicks going to the finals would be pandemonium.
Yeah.
Like, Edwards has time. If the Knicks made this run to the finals, it'd be a crazy historic outlier. I mean, Brunson's is the fourth player in NBA playoff history with four straight 39-plus point games. Brunson, Jordan, Bernard King, and Jerry West.
There's too many people being compared to Jordan in one podcast. It's like the number or the line is 0.5, and we're well over it with two.
Which team? Here's the question. Which team do you think Durant's more likely to want to go to this offseason?
Here we go. You just want to.
The Knicks or the Wolves?
You just want to shit on Durant. I think.
No.
He's more likely to go, I guess, given his history, he's more likely to go to the Wolves. Right? It's a team that knocks you out of the playoffs. You go to
they could win the if the Knicks got Kevin Durant, they could win the title.
Could.
Next year. Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly. That'd be fun, though. I think it's interesting that you said Anthony Edwards has more time. I mean, I guess he still has, he's only 22. But it just made me think that they could have gotten the Gobert trade right and wrong at the same time. Because they gave up a bunch of the assets that they would use to build a team around Anthony when he hits like his prime 26, 27 years old. They've given those assets up to bring Gobert in. So, I don't know. The window's closing. Win right now. How old is Gobert? 30, 31, 32?
Something like that.
Yeah, he's something like that. Oh, man. I'm very upset about this.
About the Knicks?
No, I love the Knicks. They're fun. I enjoy the press conferences. I enjoy them on the court. I enjoy the post-game interviews with their lunatic fans. But I'm upset that I have to concede that this particular aberration is occurring.
Do you think he's the best player left in the East, Brunson?
Okay. Trying to draft again, huh?
I just think he's going to finish top five in the MVP.
Yeah. Is he the best player in the East? He's not the player I would choose if I had my choice of players to choose from in the East.
Tatum?
Yeah, I think I'd go Jason Tatum. I know you're going to say something insulting about Jason Tatum.
No, it's like him versus Tatum and Mitchell and Halliburton. And like, Tatum's an all-NBA guy also who has a lot more playoff experience than Brunson. But I think it's a really interesting conversation.
Halliburton, a healthy Halliburton is different.
Yeah.
But I think Halliburton would be worth considering. But I think Brunson is probably – I mean, it's a coin toss, him and Spider. I guess I would take Brunson just because of, like, the intangible things.
I'm definitely taking Brunson over Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. Just even in a vacuum as a player. Yeah. I think he's just he's more of a useful player to win playoff series. The Tatum one, I think, is pretty interesting because, yeah, Tatum's taking the team to a finals. His rosters have always been better.
Yeah.
Like, a lot, like, considerably better. And Brunson's playoff performances have been out of control for the three times he's been in the postseason.
Yeah. This will probably inform our NFL draft behavior also, but I can't get past the eye test, man. Like, I think
Josh Allen would throw the ball to Jalen Brunson on a wheel route when Jason Tatum should be the one getting the ball.
Yeah. And Josh Allen would hit Jalen Brunson on the wheel route for a touchdown, and I would be wrong twice. But I'm right now. I'm right about both. That's the great thing about conceding is I don't have to be wrong anymore. I'm now right about Josh Allen, and I'm now also right about Jalen Brunson.
I concede that you're right about those topics.
Oh, the fire hydrant, man. All right.
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
That was fun.
That's great.
Good times. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Dominique.
Appreciate you. Love you, Podville. Shout out to all the great producers. Kevin, Brian, Serafina, Cortez, Megan. Oh, sorry. Cortez is a coward.
He is a coward.
I had to throw that out there for you out of respect. We out.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.